Good morning. So this is Coach Bob right here, and I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Josh coming up on stage. And we're really excited to be here today, and we call ourselves coaches because we believe here at Maywood Baptist Church that a pastor's job is all about equipping you guys to be part of God's family and to serve God here in Independence. So we view us all as part of the same team. Josh, will you open us up in prayer? Bob will get us started.
I'm glad you asked, Jake. Let's pray, guys. Father God, I thank you that you made this place called Maywood Baptist Church, Lord. I thank you that today is the day that we celebrate, the day that you stepped off your throne to come down from heaven to do what you did for people like us, even when you knew we weren't always going to be worthy of it, Lord, that we would look at it and we would walk away, and you still chose to do what you did, and for that we say thank you. We ask for your blessing on this service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we are glad you all are here, and Josh, we're really glad you're here too. Very much. Amen. We're going to start, and we're going to end with this slide. Interesting thing is, the first person to see the risen Lord was Mary Magdalene. And we'll tell that story. She has a wonderful, wonderful story. So let's get started with it. If you read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, this is the first time her name comes up. So verse 1 says, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. He had 12 with him. There were 12 disciples who followed him, but there were also some women. And so they had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, and one of them was Mary, who was called Magdalene, and she had had 7 demons cast out of her. And as I thought about this, I thought about my experience with the demonic, and I've had a couple that were quite frankly disturbing and frightening, and they spoke to me. And I've talked to Josh about it. I haven't talked to Jake about it, but I have talked to Josh about it. I'd like you to expand on that. What's it like to be in the presence of a demonic force?
Well, I can answer that for you, Bob. And so, well, first of all, I know it's kind of weird if you come to church for the first time in a while and they start all this demon talk. So let me back up for a second, because that freaks people out. It freaks people out. It used to freak me out too. So let me back up and say, if you've lived any kind of life anywhere close to the life that I've lived and some of my friends here have lived, you understand the reality of evil. Actually, if you just watch the news, Channel 4, it'll cover all the bases. You will understand the reality of evil in the world that we live in today. Okay? Y'all with me? Okay. So, I remember instances. I spent a lot of my life strung out on methamphetamine and other kind of drugs. And the evil was so real that you couldn't tell me that it wasn't there. There were times where I heard voices telling me to do things to injure people. I would also describe it as a force that drives your life or your lifestyle in a direction that's destructive to you and to your family and your loved ones and the people that you're around. Anybody in the crowd understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So, yeah, that's...
Well, I was just going to say, the pastor just read about Mary. Christ set Mary free from these different things that were driving her in an evil direction. How did Jesus set you free, Josh?
I'm going to tell you that, but first of all, the evil that I'm talking about, it isn't even so undercover that you don't know it. Like, I knew that this lifestyle was evil. I knew that it was leading me into this destructive behavior. I knew that this behavior would destroy my life, and I still was powerless to stop it. I would wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to get high today. I'm not getting high today on dope. And by noon, I'd be high. Getting high against my own will. That's the level of evil that I'm talking about. That's more than a human can bear on his own. Now, your question was?
So, Jesus set her free. How did Jesus set you free?
You know, there was a day in 2007 where I surrendered my life this day. And it was it really happened. And I said, Jesus, today, if you can fix this mess I've made, I've totally destroyed my life. My life, I have nothing left. I don't even have the will to freaking live anymore. I don't even have that anymore. If you can fix this mess I've made out of my life, then you can have my life. That was the day that he set me free and changed my life.
We just had a great Sunday school class. I'm still kind of choked up over that. So if I have to go get more Kleenex, you all understand that, okay? Because we had a whole room full of people down in the gym down below whose experience, many of them were just the same as Josh's, and that is they got free. You know, Jesus Christ has become real to them, and they have gotten free, and there's some people who have been associated with Josh over the years and some people who haven't, but the same common denominator is Jesus is in the business of setting you free. So if you hear nothing else today, get connected with him and let him set you free. Okay, fair enough. Now, what happened, amen. So what happened after Mary was free is that she became a lover of God. And it's interesting, if you turn back to chapter 7 in the Gospel of Luke, you'll find a story of a woman who gate-crashed a party. And it was a very proper and a very, you know, dignified party led by a bunch of very religious people. And Jesus was the guest of honor. This lady was not proper. She wasn't dignified, but she was a lover of Jesus. And she came in and she wept over his feet, broke this vial of expensive perfume. Maybe it was the most expensive thing in all of her life. And she poured it on his feet out of love for him for what he had done for her. And the man Simon really took exception to that and thought that was the wrong thing to do. And Jesus ended up by telling Simon this at the end. He says, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. In other words, her love was an expression of being forgiven. And so let me just turn to you guys and say, why don't you comment on that a little bit, all right?
Yeah, I think there's this idea that Jesus gets at that if we've really been forgiven of a lot, that we'll love in an incredible way. And for any of us who really get a picture of how much Jesus loves us, I think the natural response, we don't have to force it, is that we love him back. See, the people that Jesus was at this party with, or this hosting thing with, they judged her right away. As soon as she came in, they thought, this is a terrible, sinful woman. And they thought she was beneath them. And I bet she'd been treated like that a lot. And I bet she had done some things that got people talking that way. But Jesus, as soon as he saw her, accepted her. And he actually goes so far as to compliment her above the host that he's there with, to compliment that she is a better host, that she actually loves me more than you do. Jesus today is looking for people like Mary Magdalene who will say, whatever my past has been, I'm all in with Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is the one who really cares about me, and I'm all in with that.
Yeah, let me jump in here real quick. And we get that a lot. Bob was talking about the Sunday school class that we just got done having down in the gym. And guys, it's full of what we call Maywood knuckleheads. Most of us got a couple felonies. Most of us been to prison. Most of us are ex-drug addicts. But we're confused about some stuff, but there's a couple things that we're not confused about. And one of the things that we're not confused about is where our lives were without Jesus. Yeah. And so A lot of times people are like, man, you guys get a little wild down there, man. Y'all get really passionate about that. Y'all start hopping up and down and getting all puffed up, and it's just kind of wild down there. And I'm like, I understand, because we ain't confused about who we was apart from Jesus, that we was a mess and a wreck and going nowhere fast. Yeah, I mean, he who has been forgiven much loves much.
So we're going to zip through Mary's story. There are a lot of questions I'd like to just draw out of Josh, and I'm just going to give him a break today because he has worked real hard today. But I will tell you, just a side note, these two guys that I get to share this ministry with, and Wayne Bandy, wherever he might be this morning, and lots of other people here, are folks who are living examples of loving Jesus, because we've all been forgiven. And this is not a religious thing. This is a real thing. You know, Jesus came and made his life real to us and gave us new life. And I see people, I'm looking around the room. If I started calling names, we'd be here till about 10 o'clock. So the next step in the deal is Mary followed Jesus. And let me just give you a picture. Following Jesus starts at a point, hospital room, where you might think you're going to die, where you say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. Or like me, when I was in the back of a pew and the Lord came to me, and I didn't know how to pray, but I said, Lord, I give you my life. Or Jake, when he was a young man, saying, Jesus, I give you my life. It starts there. But then it follows step by step by step. And every time you say yes to God, he takes you to another step. And every time you say yes to God, he takes you to another step. By the way, every time you say no, you're stuck or you're going backwards. You know how that goes? All right. Mary Magdalene, because she kept saying yes to Jesus, got to experience all sorts of crazy things, like hearing him teach. Can you imagine that? Hearing Jesus teach. And I thought about this, and I said it in the early service today. You know, this morning while I was having breakfast, I could have heard Jesus teach if I'd opened my Bible instead of the Kansas City Star. So ask me next week what I'm reading. Okay, did you do it, Bob? Did you read your Bible instead of the Star? Okay, so she heard him teach, but she also got to see some things. She got to see miracles, lives that were changed, people that were healed. She probably saw Bartimaeus get his eyesight and become a follower. She probably got to hear Jesus look up in the tree and say, Zacchaeus, you miserable tax collector. No, he didn't say that, did he? Zacchaeus, hey, come on down and let's go to lunch today. And then Zacchaeus followed him all the way to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the resurrection, to the upper room, to the giving of the Spirit, and now into heaven. She got to see that. What do I get to see? Well, I get to hear Jesus preach and teach, and I get to know that. But I also get to see the things like we see today. You all, different lives. I get to share this work with these guys. So why don't you all talk about what's the journey been like for you all walking with the Lord?
Yeah, I don't want to take up a ton of time. We could just talk and talk about stories about Jesus, I feel like, and what he's done in our life. But one little thing I was thinking about yesterday, I was driving home from visiting my in-laws, and I got to talk to a guy that I worked with in Mexico like 7 or 8 years ago. And I was talking back to that early time when I was first working as a missionary down in northeastern Mexico. And I just was remembering the type of person I was back in high school, even before that, and how I used to flunk Spanish tests all the time. And I really decided at like 16, I'm never going to learn another language. Like, I just made that decision and moved on with my life. And then even when I started going to Mexico, I felt like God was pulling me to Mexico. I didn't necessarily, that was a new idea to me, something I would have never done on my own. Even when I first went there, I thought, well, I'm still not going to learn any Spanish. I'm just going to go there and do this one thing, which was a stupid idea. But like, God was okay to pull me along on that. But it's weird to now talk to people and realize like God took me to a place I would have never gone on my own, and he got me to learn a language I would have never had the will to learn on my own. Got to build all these friendships and to learn a lot by being exposed to another culture, and to learn a lot about myself and be like stretched in all sorts of different ways. And it's because that great adventure that I had was because Jesus was guiding my life. And like, Jesus takes people, I think, all the time to places they never expected, that they would have thought, I can't go there, I can't do that. And Jesus is in the business of showing us what we're really made for, showing us where do we really fit, and taking the limitations off of our life.
Yeah. And we're talking about the things that we get to experience, and I remember sitting right about where my wife's sitting right now, and this was a while back, and I looked around the church a little bit, and I looked over and saw Scotty Williams. You know, I used to be in a penitentiary with Scotty Williams. That's where I met him at, and he had his little girls with him, and we was singing a song about Jesus, man. And I looked over and seen Matt Smith and seen his family sitting here at church, and I just looked around and I seen all these guys that I used to be in prison with, and used to get high with, used to run the streets with, man. And today, they had their families together in church. It's bigger than that, man. These children have fathers. These wives have husbands. Families, I get to see this. I get to be a part of this. It's bigger than a person. It's bigger than a church. This is something that when you follow Jesus, that he puts you in these situations where you get to experience this fullness, and you get to experience maybe what life is about. It's to be a part of someone's life that is alive when it was dead before, dead and going nowhere, and now it's alive. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing that there is, my friend.
Amen. It's nice. During the offering in the first service, Brian always prays these really short but really powerful prayers. And he says, God, you know, this isn't a fairy tale, because lives don't get changed by a fairy tale.
That's right.
And what we're talking about is not a fairy tale. There are an abundant line of really good experiences when you follow Jesus. But it isn't always tiptoeing through the tulips with Jesus, okay? You ask the Christian martyrs around the world today if it's simple to be put in a cage and have somebody throw gasoline on you and light a match because you're a Christian, or whatever it might be right now going on. So it's never always easy. And one of the things about Mary was Mary went through some incredibly good times with Jesus, but she went through some hard ones. And the toughest time was standing at the cross and looking at Jesus. And now we're going to take just a second, because we're looking at the clock, but we're going to take just a second and talk about the cross. Talk to it about it, guys.
Looking at this picture of Mary here, I want us to think a little bit about what it would be like to be following Jesus. Your whole life is wrapped up in it. She was financially wrapped up in it. She's helping Jesus. Her whole life, she was moving with Jesus. And then the guy that all literally your hopes and dreams are on gets taken away by some evil people and gets tortured and killed. And there's a lot of experiences that we go through in life that don't make any sense. But when we read stories in the Bible, a lot of times we just jump to the end. We just think like, oh, well, this story makes sense because Jesus comes back from the dead at the end of it. But I don't want us to miss the middle of the story where she's at the foot of the cross, because in our lives, we don't get to jump to the ending. And if you think about what Mary's mind had to be going through, she's one of the only people that actually sticks around and is at the foot of the cross, has the courage to be there. And nothing makes any sense. Jesus, we all struggle when somebody good goes through something hard. Jesus had never done anything wrong. Jesus was perfect, and he's dying. And if you think, I was talking in the first service, I didn't really expect to share this. A couple weeks ago, I was leading a youth retreat at Gateway Church in Blue Springs, which was my home church when I was serving as a missionary. The pastor, the man who used to be the pastor there, Joey Butler, was my mentor. I've known him since I was 12, and he's mentored me through the better part of my whole life. And Joey got cancer, and he struggled through cancer for about a year, and it was terrible, and it was horrible to see. And he's a pastor, he's a great pastor, and a great father, and a great man, and to see him go through that suffering, there's no good answers about, like, why is Joey suffering like that? And no one could come to Mary at the foot of the cross and say, well, let me open up a book and explain all of this stuff to you. There were no human answers for why in that moment. And if Mary would have had her way, I'm sure as soon as Jesus got arrested, she was praying that he would get free. And as soon as Jesus got flogged, she was praying they would stop. And as soon as Jesus got nailed to a piece of wood and hung up to die, I'm sure she was praying that through some miracle he would be saved and be brought just down from the cross and able to go back home with all of them. God had a different plan for Jesus. And a lot of times in our lives, I don't know what you're going through, but the suffering of this world, it doesn't make sense. And we can't just open a book and say, here's the answer, here's connect all the dots about why people suffer. And my friend Joey, he died. And there's no easy wrap a bow around it answer about like why did such a good person die in a bad way. But here on earth, we don't get to see the end of the story. We don't get this 2,000-year perspective that we get on Mary's story. And so Mary's story doesn't end there. I don't know if you guys want to jump in or if we just want to wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. So, Mary, can we go to this next slide, I think?
If I can push it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So Mary's the first person to see Jesus after the resurrection. She's so upset and sorrowful, though, that she doesn't even notice Jesus at first. She goes to the tomb, and there's angels there, and Jesus is there. And she's so upset and worried, she doesn't even know what's happening at first. But finally, Jesus says Mary to her, and they have this personal relationship that's built on a long time, and that knocks her out of it. And then she realizes who Jesus is. And you realize at the end of the story that all the things that Mary was probably praying for while Jesus was suffering and all the things she wanted, they were good things for Jesus to not get beat and for Jesus to not get killed. God was operating on a whole different plan. See, God's plan isn't to fix our little problems and put a Band-Aid on them. Not to fix things to just be a decent life here on earth. God's plan is for resurrection. God's plan is for new life. That this life isn't right. And so Jesus came and conquered death. Jesus is the firstborn. He's resurrected to a new life, and he calls us to follow him into that new life. Where there's not these sinful, evil problems that we face here today. And so the thought that has been banging around in my head is that as Mary was praying and as God did something different, that sometimes the things that we're praying for, that God has a bigger, better plan in mind. And that today, we don't know all the answers, but today we can walk in resurrection with Jesus. That we can start that new life in Jesus today.
So if you would please go ahead and stand. And Josh and Jake and I and a few other people are going to be down front. We'd love to pray with you. And you respond as God speaks to you. You all need to know if the word knucklehead had been coined in that day, Mary Magdalene would have been one of them. And she was the one who got to see Jesus first of all. And God has a plan for you no matter where you are. Let him work in you. We're going to sing through one song. You come and respond as God speaks to you, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your work with us. Lord, today win victories in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.